The Wintrust Business Lunch syndicated financial columnist Terry Savage is here. Hi, Terry.
Hello, John. We've got so much to talk about today.
Let's start with the election results and why is the market off? I thought that in an off election year like this, the market did well afterwards.
Absolutely. But this is just an immediate reaction to the uncertainty. Basically, there is a tradition. In fact, the year after every midterm election since 1950, the S&P 500 has gone up, regardless of who won. And another tradition or a historical fact, since 1950, the S&P 500 has outperformed on a 52-week basis whenever there's a power scenario of a split or Republican-controlled Congress and a Democratic president. And typically, historically, the benchmark S&P has climbed 17.5% in those years after the midterm election produces that split result. So if you wanted to forecast just based on history, you'd say, get ready for a good year ahead. But right now, we don't know the exact results. Mm-hmm. It looks like the Republicans will have certainly control of the House. Senate's up for grabs. And the headline word, of course, it used to be transitory. That's been replaced by gridlock.
Yeah, but transitory was used to describe the economy.
The Fed. But the big economic buzzwords. And what gridlock means is there won't be any new tax legislation. The president was talking about a windfall profits tax on oil. There won't be any big new government spending plans, even if the Fed puts us into a recession. So in a way, the market likes the idea that nothing horrible could happen. There is one market-shaking scenario that could arise, however, early next year. And that is when we reach the debt ceiling, where we've been borrowing and borrowing. We've reached our limits. And so the Congress has to vote to extend the debt ceiling. And it's thought that perhaps a Congress that might be controlled or balanced anyway by the Republicans would demand a lot of stuff from the Democratic president to agree to lift the debt ceiling. And that could put the U.S. government's, you know, reputation on the line for its safe and sound credit, the best in the world. So that might be a big fight that we have early on in the new year.
How important is this CPI number tomorrow?
It's very important because it will tell us how tough the Fed is going to have to be going forward. And in most time, you know, we know that the Fed's goal is to create a recession to slow down inflation. And most times you would have a Congress that would say, oh, my gosh, you poor people, if it's controlled by the Democrats, we're going to send you checks or we'll do this or that. This time that won't happen. So the Fed will be toughening things up and Congress will be stalled out. And so we'll have some exciting weeks to discuss.
Does that mean that if the Republicans control the House, then the Fed is more likely to do 75 basis points in December?
I actually don't think it depends at all on what happens in the elections. And we might not know the final outcome. The Fed is acting purely based on its assessment of the threat of inflation.
Well, but that is a function of the Congress to some degree, too, is it not?
I think the Fed is, as they call themselves, data dependent. They're not looking forward to see, oh, well, a divided Congress means that we won't have inflation and so we can ease up now. They know the whole world is watching them and they're going to be tough. And it'll be interesting to see what the CPI numbers say on Thursday.
Terry Savage, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 312-981-7200. You can call or text that line. Terry Savage joins us on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Anything else we want to say about the election results?
I think they speak for themselves. There'd be a lot of uncertainty. It's going to be very interesting going forward. But let me hit on one other topic that's making headlines in the financial world. May not impact you and won't impact individuals personally, but you're going to see headlines about Bitcoin today plunging to about $16,750 as we talk. You remember, it was a year and a half ago, it was $67,000-something. What happened is that, you know, there have been some failures in the industry over the last 6 months, but the second largest exchange, FTX, ran into some trouble when it was revealed, and let me try and make this simple, that their basic capital equity was a coin created by the co-founder, Sam Bankman-Fried, and their liquidity was called into question. So they were rescued yesterday by their biggest competitor, Binance. It's like a whodunit story that you'll love to read about when you sit and have time. But the fact that the whole viability and the lack of regulation in these global markets that are not regulated was called into question. Now you see a sell-off in Bitcoin itself. Again, right now down to under 16,750. So that you're going to enjoy reading about that. It probably won't impact you unless you thought you were going to get rich either on the lottery ticket you bought or on the Bitcoin you bought.
A couple quick questions from our listeners. Then I know you got something else we need to talk about. Let's let Jim jump in here. You're on WGN. Jim, how can we help you?
Two questions for Terry. Number one, why in a 529 college plan, they only have two conversions a year instead of four? The second question, why they don't offer dividend income plans for the 529 plan?
Well, each state sets up its own 529 plan in terms of the investments. The typical 529 college savings plan says, okay, Grandpa, we know you want to keep putting money in for birthdays and christenings and graduations and so forth. We're going to make it easy for you, and most people choose this option. We'll give you an age-based option that says we'll invest more aggressively when your kids are young and get more conservative as they get closer to needing the money for college. So, but each state picks its own providers, its own fund companies, and sets up its own investments. Illinois, by the way, has one of the top-rated plans. It didn't always. A decade ago, back in the financial crisis, they really got caught. But now it's an excellent plan, and it gets top stars from Morningstar. And the rules of the plan were set up by Congress, the general rules of how these plans work. So it is what it is.
You can't do anything then about getting dividends. You can't ask them to opt into that. That's not an option.
No. They will give you either an age-based plan or an aggressive plan if you want to do it, or some of them offer conservative plans. I haven't looked at Illinois' options lately, but you do have some choices within the plan, but that's just designed to be not a place where you speculate or make market decisions, but where your kids' or your grandchild's college money grows.
Jim, I hope that helps.
Bright Start, it's brightstart.com for Illinois' 529 plan. You get a tax deduction for your contribution, by the way, against state income taxes, up to $10,000.
This question for Terry is, would T-bills be a smart place to put my kids' college savings in? They're both in high school, and we have a recent inheritance to put towards their college. Seems safer than stocks, but higher earning than a savings account. Any reason not to put that
Absolutely.
Money?
Absolutely. No. But the thing is, if it's going to be in the child's name, you're going to have that weigh very heavily against you if you go to apply for financial aid. So wait, T-bills are great. That's how I kept my son's college money years and years ago. T-bills are a great idea, but the account should be in your name. Don't put it in the child's name, because money in a child's name counts very heavily, or in a custodial name, anything like that. Open the T-bill account in your name, and that's a great place. Keep rolling the money.
One more here. I've been listening to Terry Savage on Wednesdays and finally bought some T-bills yesterday. Exclamation point. My question is, when they say the interest rate of the I-bonds is a certain percent, I heard that that is an annualized amount and you only get half of that for the six-month period.
Wait.
I heard that on the Susie Orman podcast. Can Terry verify if that's true?
Okay. Well, first of all, we're not talking about T-bills. If you bought T-bills, you get that rate for the 6 months or 13 weeks that you bought them, and then you'll renew them at whatever the going rate is. The current, remember the 9.62% rate on I-bonds up until last Friday?
Yep.
You get that rate for 6 months, and then at the end of 6 months, the new rate applies. The rate that we just had, that's a little bit lower, 6.89%, will apply after you've had 6 months of 9.62 if you bought them before. So it's the interest rate, an annual interest rate that you get for 6 months, and then the rate changes. And it's, by the way, it compounds every 6 months.
What's this FBI guy we're going to put on?
No, it's a woman. You're going to love her. She's my girlfriend. We actually, now, can I say this, Siobhan? We go out to dinner now. I really have made a new friend when we were doing all this fraud stuff about the unemployment. You all, our listeners, have done a great service. One of you wrote to me and said, I have a friend. Oh, my goodness, what she just went through, a woman of age 75. She got a call saying it was from Xfinity. saying, we notice your internet is slow. We want to fix it. And we'll give you $500 in your bank account since we should have done this earlier. She said, oh my goodness, okay. They said, well, you just have to download this thing called UltraViewer, so they could access her computer and, quote, fix it. And our friend said, her friend said yes to all the prompts, and then they accidentally put $5,000 in, so now they needed access to her bank account to remove that extra thing. And all of a sudden, she sat there as they pulled up her bank account because they gave her access. She gave them access to her computer and went into her bank account and sucked her savings and everything out. She called her friend who got her to the bank that very afternoon. They stopped the withdrawal and she didn't really lose any money. But I said, oh my goodness, I'll call my friend Siobhan Johnson at the FBI and tell her this is going on. And when I called her, she said, oh, Terry, this is really a big issue. It's going on all over the country, but it's very big here in Illinois. They use names of well-known companies like Xfinity or Microsoft, something that sounds very official. We need to get into your computer and fix this, and we'll do this for you. We're so sorry we made a mistake and you have either slow internet or something like that. You let them in and they have access to everything. You might have a home equity line of credit. You might have a brokerage account on your computer. Once they're in and you let them in by downloading this app and saying, oh yes, here you can come in. The next thing that happens is your money is gone. So I asked Siobhan, since I'm running to a corporate board meeting now, if she would come on and explain how these scams work and what you can do to protect yourself, because a lot of people are losing a lot of money. And that's the savage truth.
That's Terry Savage, and we'll have that conversation with her dinner mate.
Oh, I hope that's okay to say that we each paid for our own dinner. We want to make that clear.
All right, Terry, have a good meeting. We'll visit with you next Wednesday.
Thanks, John.
I'm John Williams. We're glad that you're here, and so too is Siobhan Johnson. She is a special agent with the FBI, personal friend of one Terry Savage. And Terry did a nice job, I think, Siobhan, setting you up about this sort of scam that is preying on maybe seniors, but on all of us. Can you kind of catch us up on this?
Absolutely. So what we're seeing right now is generally called a technical support scam. And in these scams, the common denominator is that the scammer is impersonating someone from technical support for a legitimate company in an effort to steal a victim's money. That could be your internet service provider, that could be a bank or a well-known software company, but they're pretending to be them because they think that they can get your money.
And do they always have to, though, have access to your bank account? Terry described how you cede control of your computer to them, and in this case, while you're surfing on your bank's platform. Is that always part and parcel of these scams?
That is one of the best ways to get more of your money faster, unfortunately. So if anyone's asking you to download an app on your computer or your phone so that they can have remote access to, you know, help you, and I say that in quotes, that's problematic because you don't know this person and you're allowing them to have access to every file you have. That's extremely dangerous.
I've done that before, not with a bank, and I've not let anybody surf my bank, but I one time had a problem with my computer and I let somebody who I trusted. Now, all of a sudden, my cursor is moving because we downloaded an app and then I gave them the platform and they used it. That technology can be used for good, right?
It absolutely can be used for good. But generally, when you're using it for good, it's something that you as a consumer have reached out and asked for. It's not the business or someone pretending to be a business coming to you offering to fix some issue that they found. So stop and think in these situations. When was the last time my ISP offered to give me money and help fix something proactively, yeah. Right? That's not an experience I have ever had, not to say it can't happen. But if your computer's broken, you're going out and seeking that help. And that's how you know that this is a more reasonable, legitimate thing to do.
I think we should underscore that. Just pause a minute and think, does this pass the smell test? Mm-hmm. If you think, wow, how nice of these people, they've reached out to me and they're now going to help me with my computer and give me money. Mm-hmm. That generally doesn't happen. That never happens. So if nothing else, hit pause. Don't say yes when that nice man on the phone is asking for control of your computer.
You really hit the nail on the head. The pause is critical here because they're going to try to hurry you up with statements about how you have to take care of it now. It's an emergency. It's going to get worse. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Panic, panic, panic. If you were to take 1 second to slow down and think about it, or maybe call your adult children, call a friend, you would understand that this is a scam. I have no doubt that most people would understand that. But when we hurry, we make mistakes.
Some of the MO sounds like a little bit like those grandparent scams where somebody pretends to be your grandson or daughter and they say, hey, grandma, I've been arrested. I need help. Don't tell mom and dad, but you forward money to me to bail me out. Mm-hmm. Is it targeting this one you're talking about, though, typically senior citizens?
Absolutely. They are the number one targeted demographic. And I'm speaking specifically about individuals over the age of 60. So in 2019, we saw 6,000 victims nationwide over the age of 60. In 2021, just 2 years later, we saw almost 14,000. The number of victims nationwide doubled in 2 years for this scam. It's the number one tech scam affecting this demographic. What's worse, we saw the number of losses, it went up 600%. So in 2019, victims over 60, they lost $40 million nationwide, but they lost $240 million nationwide just 2 years later. That's crazy.
Hmm. They don't know that they're going to get a senior citizen, these scammers, when they make the call, but I guess if it's somebody who's younger or more astute, they just hang up, huh?
Exactly. So are they targeting the elderly? Not necessarily. But when you think about elderly Americans, many don't have a lot of technological skills. Like they simply do not use it as much as younger demographics do. Additionally, you might see larger losses because elderly Americans tend to have larger nest eggs. Going into retirement, you typically have the most money you're ever going to have. The bad guys know that. You have a lot more to lose.
Yeah. Good luck getting money out of my son. Well, so what about this? Who are these people? Are they in the United States? Are they overseas?
Oh, both. They can absolutely be there or they can be here. Because the world is so connected now with the internet, really, you can work from home as a scammer just as well as you can as a legitimate worker, which is, it's just a sad reality. So there's no telling where your particular scammer is going to be. But one thing they are going to do is attempt to get you to move fast, and they're not going to want you to hang up that phone. Just know that. If they're trying to keep you on the phone, that is a red flag. Good guys let you hang up and call back later.
So talk about the mechanics of it then. So now they have the cursor, so they're able to go to your bank account. What happens next?
Okay, so they can go to your bank account, and in general, you're probably going to give them your bank account information, and they can log in, and they can take those funds. Or if they're on your computer and you have your email open, they can figure out whether you saved any passwords there. They can look through all of your spreadsheets. Some people save their passwords in those. And so they can independently be going through to suck the money out of those accounts. So when we're talking about them in your computer, they can drain those accounts. But sometimes rather than draining the accounts, they might feel like it's in their best interest to send you to the bank themselves to conduct a wire transfer, right? It really depends on the group of scammers you have. So just know, they might be asking you to go out and buy gift cards or go wire money from your bank account instead of just draining it themselves. Those are also really big red flags. And the biggest one here is they might tell you that your bank is in on it. Don't listen to whatever the bank teller tells you. It's not a scam. The teller is in on it. Just ignore their advice. So when the bank is really trying to tell you, sir, ma'am, don't do this. This is a scam we see all the time. You've already been trained to ignore them.
Do I have any recourse once the money's gone?
You do have a little bit of recourse, but what that really depends on is how fast you let us know. So we do have a team, a recovery asset team, and they typically are able to get back between 70 to about 84% of the assets that are illegally wired through scams, which is a really large number. But we need you to report the scam to ic3.gov immediately because it's all about timing. If you wait a week, it may be too late. So if you are a scam today, don't spend time licking your wounds. Call us immediately so that we have the information we need to hopefully freeze those wire transfers.
I'll give that website again in just a second. We're talking with Special Agent with the FBI, Siobhan Johnson. Terry Savage tipped us off to this, and that is this new kind of scam that's targeting seniors or anybody that's unfortunate enough to fall prey to they're using your computer to go into your bank, and then you help them take control of the bank, and they steal your money. When they are doing that, you might be watching the cursor move around in real time. You might see things go backwards and you don't like it. You can't override them at that point, can you?
At that point, you cannot. They have full access to your system. What you can do is unplug your computer or your device from the internet, because that's what they're using to be in there. They're not physically located in your box, right? You know that it's that internet that's keeping them connected, so pull the plug on that connection.
Anything else you'd like us to know, Siobhan?
I would like you to know that there are some other red flags we typically see in tech support scams. If someone is suggesting that they work for the government and that you should convert your funds to Bitcoin and send them, that's a huge red flag. The federal government has had a system of currency since, I would say, maybe 1792. It's worked for 200 years. We don't necessarily need another one right now. We work in U.S. dollars. We do not work in Bitcoin. So Bitcoin's a red flag. Third-party gift cards are a red flag. Legitimate businesses don't use third-party gift cards for payments. And then thirdly, if someone tells you that they have overpaid you, they meant to give you a $500 thank you gift for, you know, getting into the system and helping them out, but they sent you too much money, could you send it back to them? No. Legitimate businesses know how to reverse charges themselves. If they didn't, they wouldn't be a very good business. So don't fall prey to sending them an ever larger amount of money because, oh no, they overpaid. That is a red flag, and I want you to stop, back off, take a pause, and go talk to someone. Just throw this at them and see what they think.
If I've been a victim or know someone who has, what website do I go to, Siobhan?
IC3.gov. That's our Internet Crime Complaint Center.
IC3.gov.
Exactly.
We'll visit again. It's always a pleasure to visit with you, and we really appreciate the help. Very good today, Siobhan.
Oh, thank you so much for getting the word out. You have a good day.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. New data shows Chicago area home prices flattening for the first time since a housing boom began in 2020. Midwest real estate data shows the median price of homes sold in the nine-county metro area at $270,000, unchanged from the same time last year. According to Crain's, median prices had been up double digits in each of the previous 124 weeks. In the city of Chicago, Illinois realtors reported home prices were down slightly or flat in seven of the first 9 months of the year. People are eating out more, and that's having an impact on the amount of aluminum foil being used. Daily usage has dropped moderately, causing Reynolds Consumer Products to miss on quarterly revenue in its latest earnings report. The Lake Forest-based company says more people are using air fryers and slow cookers, and those don't always require Reynolds wrap. Aluminum prices have declined more than 16% this year, but Reynolds hasn't benefited from those dropping costs. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
We got the business of food for you now. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, let's talk about the Bears, sort of, right after I tell you we are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, you know the words. Let's go. Today is when you may start seeing the Chicago Bears pushing out a marketing campaign for Riley's Ribs. It's the latest Chicago company the Bears have chosen to be a small business all-pro, and a wife and husband team are the lucky recipients.
I'm Antonio Riley.
And I'm Karen Riley, and we're Riley's Ribs. We're the creators of the sauces and seasonings that make your food say something.
What does the food say?
I need some more Riley's.
And what's different about Riley's Ribs from the other three winners of the Bears Small Business All Pros?
They were saying we were the first product-based company that they chose for this award. So it was like, hey, you guys have a barbecue sauce, you have different seasonings. We can see this going very well with tailgate menu items. So let's do it.
And we're huge Bears fans. So this is so exciting for us. We've traveled to go to Bears game. So this is just really huge for us.
The Rileys got started because of family pressure, basically. Karen's large family in Cincinnati has an annual barbecue cook-off with a healthy side of trash talk. And what could she and that Chicago husband of hers possibly know about barbecue?
I was like, all right, I think it's time for us to enter. And we entered 1 year, and I think we may have came in like dead to last. So we was like, all right, we got to do something about this. So we went back home. We got in our lab, which was our kitchen, and we started messing around, creating our own sauce and our signature seasoning, and went back, and that's when we won 2 years in a row.
The seasonings from Riley's Ribs, and that's spelled R-I-B-Z, are all over Chicago.
So our complete list of stores are listed on our website, which is www.rileysribs.com. So we're in select Joe Osco stores. We're in meat markets across the city. We're in Walls grocery stores. We're coming up to be in a select Walmart stores and also Mariano's.
Congrats to the Bears Small Business All-Pro Riley's Ribs. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
The folks from Echo, the company that Ryan Ladley is the vice president of operations of, they're in Lake Zurich. They employ over 1,000 folks and, as I understand it, are celebrating an anniversary this year. Welcome to the show, Ryan. What's the anniversary?
Oh, well, hey, thanks for having me, John.
Sure.
The 50th anniversary is something we are very, very excited about. Give you a little background of Echo. We are your hometown landscape equipment manufacturer located right here in Lake Zurich. And we produce things such as lawnmowers, chainsaws, leaf blowers, trimmers, both for professionals and consumers. And you touched on the 50th anniversary, which is really excited for us. It's this month, actually, in November. And if you don't mind, to give you a little bit of history, 12 people back in 1972 started this company as a distribution company only. Hmm. We are now Lake Zurich's largest employer with over 1,000 people in manufacturing, automation, assembly, and machining. It's been such an exciting growth over the past 50 years.
I've seen your stuff. It's at Home Depot, too, right?
It is. You can get our product at Home Depot or over 6,000 independent dealers as well. Absolutely.
And do I understand that you guys are a pretty green company as well?
We are. One of our core values is environmental sustainability. So we have always focused on our green initiative. We've always valued that, but we've accelerated those efforts over the past 10 years. Just to give you a couple of examples, we recently installed a 2.8 million watt solar power system on the roof of our Echo facility, and this went live in June of this year. We are able to offset 40% of our overall energy usage, and we return that to the grid. I also want to mention that we capture 100% of our plastic resin waste. This keeps 400,000 pounds of plastic resin out of landfills every single year. And to take it even one step further, we even repelletize the dust that's created from the regrind process.
I didn't know you could do that. Ryan Ladley is with Echo Incorporated. What's the best seller? What do you guys sell the most of, Ryan? What's your standard?
Well, trimmers and blowers. We sell a lot of trimmers and blowers, but we've got a great mix of products. To be honest with you, we've really expanded our lineup past just the gas. We now have, we're really excited to bring in a new eForce 56-volt line of battery products, and that's something very exciting. We're changing with the times and making sure that, you know, we listen to the voice of the customer. You know, whether they need battery product for a municipality or a high torque trimmer or a more powerful backpack blower or a lighter weight hedge trimmer. So we design these products to meet their needs. So it not only helps the customer, but the communities they serve as well.
I like doing lawn work. I talk about it now and again on the radio. You know, the gadget I need the most, the thing that I most want to do, but I find the most difficult to do, is edging the lawn between the grass and the sidewalk. I like a nice little trough there, and that is a son of a gun of a job to do.
We have a couple of great products for you right there. We have some outstanding edgers, and the stick edger is one of our also world's first. We've got a lot of innovation in product, but we have the right product for you, John.
And you guys are the were you guys the leaders or the innovators of the backpack blower as well?
Yes, we were. So back in 1975, we actually invented the first backpack blower. Fast forward 3 years, we then invented the handheld blower in 1978. And now pretty much every landscape crew and most homeowners have it either in their garage or their truck or their trailer. And we have since introduced the first low-noise blower, and we are really, really proud to offer the world's most powerful backpack blower in the industry. And as I mentioned, you know, earlier, introducing a new eForce 56-volt line of battery products is something that we're very, very excited about this year to give our users another option, especially as times are transitioning.
Boy, a low-noise lawn implement is innovation, because that's just the sound of spring, summer, and fall, as all of those things were in a way. If you can make them quieter, I think the neighborhood will thank you.
Absolutely. That's the goal. And you realize with HOAs and municipalities and changing that, not only do we have low noise gas blowers, but we've got a very quiet line of 56 volt battery products as well. So we want to make sure that we listen to the voice of our end users. And that's really critical for us.
Ryan Ladley is the Vice President of Operations at Echo Incorporated, ECHO. You see them at their own stores. You see them at Home Depot and places like that. They employ over 1,000 people in Lake Zurich, and their birthday is this month. Happy 50-year anniversary. My best to all of the folks over there, Ryan.
Oh, well, thank you so much, John.
You have a good day.